cycling isn't just cycling. It can be cycling or cycling or even cycling. Peloton isn't just one thing. We have classes that will ease you in and classes that'll make you sweat and a range of instructors so you can find your match. Whatever you're in the mood for, we can get you in the zone. See for yourself with a worry-free 30-day home trial. Visit onepeloton.com/home-trial. Terms apply.
Work. This is the Lord's work because he's called you to do it.
For help and hope from God's Word, visit In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley at intouch.org.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this Friday night, the 29th day of September. Only one day left in this month. Wow. Alrighty, and tonight our very distinguished producers, none other than Derek Venus. Wake up, Derek. Say something, Derek. Wake up.
It's too late for this. I don't even know what buttons I'm pressing anymore.
There you go. All right, man, I'm telling you. And then we have tonight, well, he's a legend. None other. Then Big John McTernan.
Am I a legend in my own time or my own mind?
Both.
Hello, Pastor Ernie. God bless you and all our listeners.
So we have a lot to talk about tonight. So just you and me here. Are you ready to roll with this thing?
I'm ready.
Do you have your mechanical Bible?
I have my electric Bible, if that... Right. I have my mechanical one. Yeah, I have a couple of them right around me.
All righty, there you go. All right, when the power goes out, so does John. Now listen, you always have a real Bible for a backup, don't you?
I sure do. I have several of them.
All right, very good. All right, now, the title of the message was The Jezebel Spirit Then and Now. And we're going to pick it up where we left off. And through this thing, we did some comparison. We showed how that the Jezebel spirit, that even men can have the Jezebel spirit too, but it's not nearly as prevalent as it is in women. But then we showed how when Elijah had gone and Ahab about what his blasphemy and what he's done, and Ahab went and he put sackcloth and ashes, and he tried to repent and ask God, you know, not to take his life and so on and so forth. And so God says, all right, because he's repented here, he's come to me softly and repented, I'll destroy his family, because God had told him he was going to take out his whole family, the whole family. I'll wait until Ahab's done, and I'll do it in the days of his sons. And that's where we pick it up tonight in 2 Kings, John, chapter 9 and verse 22. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 22. And if we could read, could you read verses 22 through 26?
Okay, 2 Kings chapter 9, verses 22 through 26. And it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu, and he said, "It is peace, Jehu?" And he answered, "What peace, so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many?" And Joram turned his hands and fled and said to Azariah. There is treachery, O Uzziah. And Jehu drew a bow with his full strength and smote Joram between his arms, and the arrow went out at his heart, and he sunk down in his chariot. And he said, "Jehu," to Bidkar, his captain, "take up and cast him in the portion of the field of Naboth." Yeah, that's the guy he stole the
vineyard from.
Field from.
He killed all his sons.
Yeah, Jezreelite. "For remember how that when I and thou rode together after Ahab his father, and the Lord laid his burden upon him? Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, saith the Lord. I will requite thee in this plat, saith the Lord. Now therefore, take and cast him into the plat of the ground according to the word of the Lord."
So here now, he's fulfilling the prophecy now. Jehu was sent to eliminate every last one of Ahab's family, every one of them, totally. And now, his mother, Jezebel, was known. Huzziah was, I think, the oldest son, was known for her whoredoms, and she was known for her witchcraft. And so at Jezebel's table was known for gluttony and orgies, and she was a wicked, wicked woman. And if you pick it up in verse 30 here, when God had prophesied what would happen to her, Elisha came and told him that she would be eaten by their dogs, and there, up by the wall, right there, where close to where they took Naboth's vineyard. But pick it up in verse 30 and read verse 30 to 37.
"And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face and tied her hair and looked out the window."
Well, that's tired her hair. When they talk about tired, that's when you kind of...
tired. Say it again, Pastor Ernie.
When it's tired, it's not like... It's when they take that hair and they put it up in like in a round circle. And then they run these like the strands down. But anyhow, it was to make her look more like a harlot.
Oh, okay. "And Jehu entered in at the gate and said, had Zimran peace, who slew his master."
You see, what she's doing there, John, is she's mocking, because Zimri was, he was like the number one guy, his top aide to the king Elah. In fact, if we go over, let me jump over very quickly to 1 Kings 16, verse 8. "In the 20th and 6th year of Asa, the king of Judah, Elah, the son of Baasha, to reign over Israel in Tirzah, 2 years. And his servant Zimri, captain of half his chariots, conspired against him as he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of his house in Tarzai. And Zimri went in and smote him and killed him in the 20th and 7th year of Asa, the king of Judah. that reigned in his stead. So now, here, remember, amongst these people, what we call the liberals of today, or they call themselves progressives, communists, whatever, it's all satanic. And remember, too, to us, treason and betrayal is a repulsive thing to us. To them, betrayal within the collective, if you can betray somebody that's got status, if you can betray them and get away with it, then that your stock goes way up within the collective. That's the way it works under communism. And we saw some examples with that. Remember when Obama betrayed Barak, the king of Egypt, betrayed him, and he ended up dying in a jail cell. Remember how Jimmy Carter betrayed the Shah of Iran. One day he's there with his arm around each other. Pardon?
You know, when Jimmy Carter did that, that really changed the course of history.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Changed the complexion of the Middle East.
But it's within that collective. If you can, it goes back to the days of Joseph Stalin and others too. Well, and I remember how when Hillary betrayed Muammar Gaddafi, remember they were in cahoots together, and she betrayed Stevens. Remember the ambassador Stevens?
Oh yeah.
And yeah. I was watching. Hillary was sitting in front of a screen. They had it on C-SPAN. Hillary sitting in front of a screen with her girlfriend. What was her girlfriend's name? That dark-haired woman.
Oh yeah, yeah. She's an Egyptian or Palestinian.
Wiener. She was Wiener's wife.
Yeah, yeah. I can see her face. I just can't think of her name.
Yeah, she had an unusual name. But anyhow, they were sitting there, and they sodomized with a bayonet. They sodomized Gaddafi in the street, and they were beating him to death, and she's sitting there and she's laughing. They're laughing at this. And then Hillary says, now he's dead, and they cackled. So she had betrayed him, and within the collective, that your stock goes up. Hillary now become, her stock even went up higher in the collective. And so now somebody can betray Joe Biden, if they can throw Biden under the bus in a big way, whoever that is that can do that and get away with it, their stock will go up. Especially now Joe's so pitiful, is what's happening with him. Now, he goes on, pick it up in verse 32.
And he lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, "Go see now the cursed woman and bury her, for she is the king's daughter." And they went out to bury her, but they found no more than her skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, "This is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, In the portion of Jezebel shall dogs eat the flesh of, excuse me, in the portion of Jezreel shall the dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel." Can we continue?
Yeah, no, stop right there, because so we see that what's happening here. Well, and he says, "And the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel. So they shall not say, this is Jezebel." And so now, how do you think, we were talking about the personalities of Bill and Hillary and Ahab and Jezebel. Their personalities are so much so identical, if you might say. And how do you think Hillary responds? Should she read this, or if she ever read this? How do you think she, what do you think is going through her mind?
She'd like Jezebel, but not the way she died.
Well, I mean, if Hillary and Jezebel were here today at the same time, it would be an interesting contest about, you know, who has the most of the Jezebel spirit. But here, we took a look at what she did. Remember, she got corrupt government officials, to betray, to set up, to bring together false witnesses, a bunch of false witnesses. Now, do you remember just what happened? You had 51 of those dirty cops, those dirty intelligent FBI agents and that, 51 that lied. They agreed to lie, and they signed their names, and they outright, flat outright lied about Russia scam, remember?
Absolutely, yeah. All the intelligence agencies, the heads of the intelligence agencies.
So Jezebel got, and she got the sons of Belial. Now, the sons of Belial, they were involved in with witchcraft and sodomy. And she got the sons of Belial to come forth and give false testimony against Naboth and his sons. Well, against Naboth, anyhow. And so here now, when you take a look at that, Hillary has the false, she got people like Comey. When you had Merrick Garland, you have Christopher Wray, all of these corrupt officials, especially within the Biden regime, that are there to protect Hillary. Why? It's because what she's got it's because of the Pandora Papers, what's in them, and all of these people, all of that huge amounts of money. Remember, Uranium One. And all that, everybody at the heads of all of those agencies, the top people, all got their payoff. They all got paid. So Hillary owns them. This is why she would be acid-bathing the hard drives, by smashing telephones, what, 200-something thousand emails. She just deleted. And she mocked. She said, "I'm Hillary. I'm the queen of the hill. And what do you guys? You guys better protect me. You better protect me." Well, now, see, Hillary had, she had those guys by the throat. But people like others that she went after were not so fortunate. We mentioned a bunch of them. I have a list right here. James McDougal, I was standing out in front of his house when they had Clinton had two cars of the Clinton's Dixie mobs were there making sure McDougal didn't leave his house. Meanwhile, he's locked up in his house. He was the Whitewater partner that died, they said, of a heart attack. And they had him in solitary confinement, even at his house. Why? Well, because he was a key witness in Ken Starr's investigation against Bill Clinton, right? And now what happened? Do you remember with James McDougal what happened? He's sitting in the jail and Bill Clinton sleeping with his wife. Then we went down the list and we talked about a number of people that were involved. Remember Mary Mahoney? She was the a White House intern. She was found dead because she was bringing charges against Bill Clinton for sexual harassment. And guess what? She just ended up, on July 1997, ended up dead over at the Starbucks. Of course, I don't have to go into Vince Foster. Everybody knows about the Vince Foster. Ron Brown, we broke that right here. Remember what Ron Brown said just 2 weeks before they got him? He said that him and his son are not going to go down alone, that if he goes down, he's taking everybody with him right up to Bill and Hillary. Well, he didn't get his wish, did he?
No, Pastor Ernie. That was a bizarre airplane. If there ever was a bizarre airplane accident, it was the one that he, quote, died in.
Remember Ed Wiley? Ed Wiley was the husband of Kathleen Wiley. And on the very same day that Kathleen Wiley complained to Bill Clinton trying to fondle her, was fondling her in the Oval Office, just what happened? Ed Wiley finds himself dead by committing suicide. Really? And then you had, of course, we talked about Kathy Ferguson here numerous times on the radio. What happened? We talked about her, how we warned her and warned her. Jerry Parks, we talked about Jerry Parks. So he was the head of Clinton's gubernatorial security team in Little Rock, and he was gunned down in his car at a deserted intersection outside Little Rock. Parks' son said his father was building a dossier on Clinton. He alleged threatened to reveal his information. Well, I know what Gary Parks, his son, told me right here live on the radio that that Young, Buddy Ed Young, shot his father point blank in broad daylight on the highway. And then you had people like, remember Danik Casolaro? He was the investigative journalist at MENA. And all of a sudden...
Is he the one that died in the dentist chair?
No, he's the one that they found in the bathtub with his wrist slit. Right in the middle of an investigation, he was putting an investigation together. He had all kinds of evidence against the Clintons. And that's when he was found. But it goes on and on and on and on. But that Paul Wilker, he was the one that was found. He was involved in the with Casolaro investigating the MENA thing. And then he was also found right then dead, sitting on his toilet dead. So all these things go on. So we see how Bill and Hillary, how they so much alike here. And then I'm going to pick it up and read verse 8 because you don't get over on God. You reap what you sow. Verse 8 in chapter 10 says this, "And there came a messenger and told him, saying, they have brought the heads of thy king's sons. And he said, lay thee them in the two heaps at the entering of the gate until the morning." Well, you know, Ahab had all those wives, so he had all those sons. And here they had beheaded all of his sons, to the very last man that killed him. And it came to pass in the morning that he went out and stood and said unto all the people, "You righteous, all you be righteous, behold, I conspired against my master and slew him, but who slew all of these?" And he was laughing, you know, about what she had said about Zimri. Anyhow, "Now know now that there shall fall into the earth nothing of the word of the Lord, which the Lord hath spaken concerning the house of Ahab, for the Lord hath done that which he spake by his servant Elijah. So Jehu slew all that remained in the house of Ahab and Jezreel, and his great men, and the kinsfolks, and his priests, until there was none left remaining." So there you go. Boy, you don't want to go to war against God, do you?
You sure don't, Pastor Ernie. But we know this all comes out, either here or in eternity. But I'm amazed at the number of deaths that are around the Clintons and other politicians, and they're never resolved. You notice that, Pastor Ernie?
Well, when Ron Body Young, who's the head of the Highway Patrol, is in charge of investigating the death of Jerry Parks, right? When his son Gary told me that it was Young that killed him. It kind of happens that way. That's why we can't get anything done with the Bidens, because they own Merrick Garland. He's as corrupt as any. Merrick Garland would be very, very hard-pressed to find anybody that's as corrupt as himself to prosecute. We'll be back right after this.
Big John, Big John.
He was born of Elizabeth, the son of Zechariah, sent by God the Father to proclaim the Messiah. He was as bold as a lion, he knew no fear. An awesome man in a coat of camel hair.
Big John.
Big John. Big Baptist John.
Big John.
In the wilderness of Judea, you could hear him there. He was preaching repentance. It was very loud and clear. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, better listen, Pharisee. He preached to the sinner, the thief, and the liar. Only one way out of that burning lake of fire. The truth thundered forth from this righteous man, and those that believed found the promised land.
Big John, Big John.
Big Baptist John. Chosen by the Father to baptize the Son, it was there in the Jordan this awesome thing was done. The Holy Ghost descended as if it were a dove. A mighty voice thundered from heaven above. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. John, his friend, none greater than he. He told all the people about God the Son. He never quit preaching till the job was done.
Big
Baptist John.
Big John.
Now 2,000 years later, the story is still being told. How he was thrown into prison for being so bold. He was martyred for God. To him it was an honor. He earned himself a mansion, heaven way out yonder. Big John. Now John's enemies, they perished in their shame. But John took his place in the Saints' Hall of Fame. Now in heaven above, the angels understood when John preached repentance, he sure did it good. Baptist John.
Big John.
Now there's one thing John wants you to know. It's a fearful matter to lose your own soul. So call upon the Lord while you still can. And better take the advice of this mighty righteous man.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big
Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John. All right, we're back. And boy, tonight I attended that meeting, Tactical Civics, John, and it was dynamite. They're doers of the Word Baptist Church. And I think every single person that was there that I talked to was signing up. They were signing up for Tactical Civics. Two things. One, to bring back, first of all, the Constitution demands that we have a standing militia. It demands that we have a standing. We've gotten away from that. And that's what we're building back. We're building back a standing militia. Two, grand juries. We're going to start again because of all the corruption, all such great corruption in the country. And I'm going to tell you, people are signing up left and right. People are so fed up and they're worried now. Now some of them are starting to do something. They're actually moving. And here in Ohio, John, we've got this issue one, which is absolutely from hell. This issue one, the deep state, the dark state, the very same people that are involved with the child sex trafficking, the worst people, the Planned Parenthood type of people, absolutely evil to the core, evil, greedy, evil, beastly people, are pushing. They want to try to pass this issue one. And are you familiar with that issue one, John?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, because when it was in the primaries, I guess it was, you were covering it and you were telling people about voting and all, how they had it kind of worded to trick. You had to be very careful the way it was kind of tricky laid out for how you voted.
Yeah, the ACLU has got the wording, and they're running completely misleading ads. I mean, just completely. These people couldn't tell the truth if they had to. And they're spending something like $60 million here in Ohio. This money, the dark money's coming in from California. The dark money's coming in from New York, from the blue states into Ohio here. Because if Ohio falls, there's about five other states that will probably go like dominoes. And they know that. And this is why we're battling. Now, we're not concerned about not having more votes than them. We know we'll have a lot more votes than they do. But we're concerned about the election fraud, because the Democrats never quit where it comes to election fraud. They just don't, okay?
They don't, Beth Bernie. I mean, they... And look, I'll give the devil his due there. They are very intelligent, very skilled. They have top attorneys working with them and political scientists and computer people, and they've got it all, but evil as can be.
Well, they're starting to panic somewhat, though. There's some things that's panicking them. Now, West Virginia official calls on Speaker McCarthy and the GOP House to withhold funding from the DHS until they fire clowns James Clapper and John Brennan. West Virginia Secretary of State Mack Warner fired off a letter to House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and House Appropriations Committee Chair Kay Granger demanding House Republicans defund the Department of Homeland Security until the agency fires election cheaters, John Brennan and James Clapper and Paul Kolb from their so-called experts group, who will coordinate with the agency's intelligence and analysis division in the Office of the Counterterrorism Coordinator. Former DNI James Clapper and former CIA Director John Brennan are famous. They're absolutely famous for their role in the attempted coup of President Trump, pushing the Russian conspiracy that attempted to tie President Trump to Putin. Both of these men knew that this was bogus. They lied under oath. They lied under oath, and they knew they could lie under oath because they knew that there was nobody, and that their guy was heading up the Justice Department, and they would not bring any charges. This is why tactical civics is becoming so popular now, because we'll be able to start ringing in these corrupt political officials now. And so he goes on, and he talked about they knew it was funded and launched by the Hillary Clinton campaign. Of course they did. They were Hillary's whores. They were Hillary's little whores. And they both knew Trump had no serious contacts with Russian leaders. They ran away with it. Then in 2020, Clapper and Brennan agreed to sign a letter with 51 total intel experts who claimed Hunter Biden's laptop of filth and porn and crack and crimes was a Russian disinformation. They signed their names to a letter knowing this was a complete and total lie. Last week, they were rewarded with a spot on the DHS experts team to discuss counterterrorism and crackdown on the American conservatives and Trump supporters. And Republicans continue to fund their demise. There you go. That's the article. What do you have to say about all that?
Wow. It was excellent, Pastor Ernie. Excellent. Well, it shows you DHS with Clapper and Brennan there. I mean, both of them were proven to be absolute liars. Clapper, I remember him, they caught him in a lie and asked why he said it, and he said, well, it was the best I could think of at the time.
Yeah.
And yet they hire them, Pastor Ernie.
Well, yeah. It's because, again,
the people they want.
Well,
they
you'll
want
say
people like that.
One thing about the Democratic Party, unlike the Republican Party's got corruption, but there's some in it that aren't corrupt. You know, you got people like Josh Hawley, like Ted Cruz, like Jim Jordan. You've got some that are not corrupt within the Republican Party. I can't think of one. not one person, not one in the Democratic Party that's not been totally corrupted, can you?
No, Vestry, no. And I'm talking about coming way down below it, coming down to the states, coming down to the counties. I think they're all school boards. They're all, it's like, you know, the Lord told the disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. That's what this is. This leaven is just spread right through them.
Alrighty. Absolutely. At the Lindell Office Fund, we know it's just a matter of time before the real criminals are caught. That's why we do not stop. We do not cower and hide. And we will never, no, not ever, stop fighting the deep state globalists who are trying to destroy our country. Your support and contributions are keeping us at the center of the fight. Yesterday, I signed with you a breaking news of a Miami attorney formally indicting the software company Smart Alley, a Smartmatic. Smartmatic's the, remember, Dominion? That was their small software company. The company is responsible for election equipment in the United States. In other countries, Smartmatic is being indicted on the following, and accused of bribes, money laundering, corrupt foreign dealings to gain contracts, and other influence in elections. To be clear, Smartmatic sued me for over $1 billion. This is Mike Lindell saying this, claiming I had ruined their reputation. Smartmatic has systematically gone after people with influence and their livelihoods for what they call disparaging comments. This is a company that works directly with the government and has incredible, unprecedented protection from people even to question the quality of their work that they put out. Isn't that just incredible? The company was losing its reputation long before I mentioned them, and that was very little, actually, because of the speculations following them around from previous elections they were responsible for. You know, Smartmatic offered to withdraw their lawsuit towards me if I would publicly recant and stop talking about the 2020 elections. They will never happen. And I thankfully, the Miami DA is going to do his job and investigate the company that has used lawfare on individuals. See, that this is just it. This big money hits the people. It goes after. They know who to buy people in high places, and the word gets out. They have fixers, people that are professionals. You know, let's just say they buy, well, let's just say they bought Merrick Garland, and then they have a professional that will call someone who's like Chris Ray and say, well, you know, Merrick sold, but they do it in a way where, in case they hit the wrong person who might have some scruples, but pretty much within the Democratic Party, there's none left. When no scruples, without any decency at all. Smartmatic's own behavior has tarnished their reputation. Court documents show that the facilitating of alleged bribes created fake contracts and the use of Smartmatic slush funds. Boy, they belong right in there with the Biden crime cartel, don't they?
Perfect fit, Pastor Ernie. Perfect.
Yep. And it goes on to say, I've already aroused distrust from Smartmatic's in 2016, long before any of us knew who Smartmatic was. Smartmatic stated that MyPillow benefited financially from direct investigation into elections. But the truth is MyPillow has lost over $100 million in revenue. And even in the last 2 weeks, more accounts pulled businesses from MyPillow company. Any that would pull from him, I wouldn't go to, like when Bed and Bath pulled. I said, that's it. Nobody goes to Bed and Bath. All of those woke companies that pulled away from him, they're all doing bad. Their business is going downhill. They're closing stores, especially Target.
Yeah, Target. Yeah, what's happening to Target is the looters. And that's something I wanted to talk about tonight, Pastor Ernie. I think it's very important, that looting that's going on in the major cities. especially Philadelphia. So I'll wait till you finish.
No, I'm finished. Go ahead and Philadelphia there. Well, I'm here.
Have you been following that, Pastor Ernie, especially the looting in Philadelphia?
You know, it's an amazing thing where these cities like Philadelphia and in these blue states where they embrace crime. And now we know that it's George Soros' whores. George Soros put the word out. He said, I want prostitutes. I'm going to buy attorney generals and district attorneys. I want people that will sell their own soul. In fact, souls are for sale. And
he got them, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah.
He's gotten them.
And so he put them out there. You got Bragg in New York City. You got Big Fanny in Atlanta. You had, what's her name, that just recently resigned there in St. Louis. You've got that one in Michigan under Whitmer. So you've got all of, I mean, these are bought and paid for, aren't they? They're owned. Their souls have been sold, huh?
Well, I'll tell you who's bought and paid for is not only the Democrats, but the Republicans in Georgia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know.
That Georgia's it's in a dangerous situation politically, Pastor Ernie. It's going to go down. It's going to go down. The Republican Party's owned. It's owned.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing what happened. Remember Judge Roy Moore? Rhinos, the Republicans. They were scared to death to get a man that honest. They did not want a man that honest in the Supreme to be the Supreme Court Justice. He was too honest. He knew too much, and he knew that those that were involved in corruption in his state, he would go after. And so they could not handle that.
Mr. Ernie, I don't know if you picked this up on the show or not, but it took quite a while, but he was cleared. He had some legal cases, and you notice how he was cleared?
Oh, yeah.
All those charges?
All of them, yeah. Well, he challenged those seven women that they paid off to make those false claims about him. He challenged all of them to take a lie detector test and to abide by the results, and they all dropped. They all went away. And so, yeah, Judge Roy Moore.
I want to go back to the cities because the businesses are fleeing Seattle, Portland, Oakland, and Philadelphia, and I'm sure most of the other cities. This is all planned, Pastor Ernie. I mean, no one is as stupid as these mayors and district attorneys and all. This is planned. This is planned about
money answereth all things, John. They go in, they burn down the cities, the real estate values drop down. People like Soros and these others and Chinese, they buy up this land for pennies on the dollar. And once they've bought it all up, then they turn around. And then they'll get government funding to renovate, so there's more tax dollars to come in. And again, it's on the backs of the tax dollars, and they become richer and richer. And then the people, but at the same time, they're turning them in. They want to burn them down and turn them into what they call 15-minute cities or Agenda 2030 cities.
You're absolutely right. There's an agenda to this. This chaos. They want to make the cities unlivable. They want the people to start begging to whatever the government will do to bring it under control. This is planned chaos, Pastor Ernie, to destroy the cities. But the thing is, you think the people would like rise up against them, but they seem unable to do it, Pastor Ernie. They seem to be unable, and they just go along continuing to vote for the same people, unless it's fraudulent. You know, the Democrats may be able to hold on because they have these cities, they have Democrat machines in there, and they have control of all of voting. And also that may be the way they're doing it, Pastor Ernie, is by fraud, voter fraud.
Well, yeah, they're doing that too. Obviously they're doing that. But the idea is you bring in Antifa, which is a fascist group. You bring them in, You say, look, don't worry about being prosecuted. You're going to get paid $20, $25 an hour to go out and have some fun. Burn, loot, and murder if you want. Don't worry about being prosecuted. That's not going to happen. We have our whores there. They're not going to let you get prosecuted. And like, remember Kamala Harris said, if they go to jail, she'll get them out. She would get them out of jail so they go out and continue to burn, loot, and murder, huh?
Absolutely. She was she was involved in a fund. There was a literal fund, Pastor Ernie, for bail. So whoever was arrested for the riots, they were right there to put the bail money up to get them out of jail. Now they don't even need to do it, Pastor Ernie. They can just, there's no bail anyways now.
Yeah, to take that away. So here now, tens of thousands of fake voters, the FBI. By the way, this is out of World News Daily and by Bob Unruh. FBI buries documents on possible nationwide vote fraud. The FBI is claiming that the information regarding what appears to be a nationwide voter registration fraud scheme involving tens of thousands of fake voters. The FBI says, well, it can't be released. All of that information can't be released because it's a part of an ongoing investigation. How far do you think that investigation is going to go, John? It is just the news that has confirmed it has been refused access to information regarding multi-state fraud investigations that begin in Michigan and later turned over to the feds. I remember watching the 2020 election. A truck pulled in, one of those big box trucks. They opened the back of it up, and there were boxes, thousands of ballots. And on the boxes, it was written, Biden ballots. These are brand new, fresh ballots. These weren't ballots that people voted on. And so information released by the state confirms the more broad scope of the scheme. But the FBI now is shutting down access. And just the news said it is considering what steps to take next in its pursuit of the truth. So here, again, I'm wondering because, I say Chris Ray being put on the hot seat. I know, you know, he sits there and they sweat him out. But sooner or later, something's going to break. And it's got to be, these guys got to be brought before a grand jury. That's what they have to do.
Pastor Ernie.
Pardon?
The states have to do it. I don't know why. I mean, this corruption is widespread all over. You know, so the state attorney general should be the one. All of the red states, their attorney generals, however, like Biden, what he's doing, well, see, that spills into Delaware, which is, you know, useless. But the where they can do it, it should be the attorney generals of, like, Texas should be going after them.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. All righty, we have, speaking of Texas, no, that's Missouri. I was looking here. You have in Texas a prosecutor, I'll find the article here in a minute, where Texas has passed a law keeping the pedophiles, the Democrats, okay, on the drag queen thing. I'm looking for the drag queen article. Oh, here it is.
Yeah, and some federal judge overturned it.
Yeah, a guy named David Hintner, a U.S. District Judge David Hintner, ruled that the law is too broad and infringes on the First Amendment rights and chills free speech. Do you understand what he's saying here? Federal judge has struck down the Texas law prohibiting sexualized performances, including drag shows and nudity, and that in the presence of minor. But this judge, U.S. District Judge David Hintner, ruled that, well, that kind of chills free speech. What do you think of that, John?
They have to be in there. Pastor Ernie, he has to be a reprobate, seriously. You don't necessarily know a reprobate by necessarily their looks, but the actions. You know, we're dealing with children and corrupting them, and this guy is worrying about chilling free speech of having, all of this perverted stuff that's going on, and they want to pass a law to protect the children. Then this judge comes up with some bogus nonsense, and so the kids aren't protected.
Well, all through the Bible, it refers to people that do this, that violate God's laws, and that is whores. And so I would have to put him in that category. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah. So they're the kids not protected. These judges that make decisions like this, Pastor Ernie, when they stand before Jesus Christ on the Great White Throne Judgment, Revelation 20, if we do individual sin, we're held individually. But when you're a judge, and especially the law, I mean, God is precise with the law, and he uses his position to do this. It's going to be special judgment when he stands before the Lord, Pastor.
If this guy had been attending our church and he did something like that, I would insist he come before the church and repent and ask for forgiveness before the church. If he refused to do that, he would be totally disfellowshipped with and thrown out.
Wow, that makes me think of, you remember Tiller the Killer?
Yeah, yeah.
They're in Wichita, Kansas?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a deacon in a Lutheran church, I remember.
And you know what happened? I remember Killer George Tiller. I was the only one that ever shut his abortion mill down. Did you know that?
Yeah, I've heard you tell that story, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah. I got out there. They had federal marshals, a big crowd of people waiting for me. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, for one day, they shut down the entire abortion mill for one day and made him go
2 home. Minutes.
He was a wicked man, but, well, he's a believer now, isn't he?
He's a firm believer, Pastor Ernie. I mean, he's in the pangs of hell now, waiting for the Great White Throne Judgment and then the Lake of Fire.
How much money do you have to have before you can escape the flames of hell?
There's no amount, Pastor Ernie, that could get them out.
How do you think George Soros feels about that?
Well, he has no fear of God. He thinks Soros has made statements that he's God.
Yeah, I know that, but he's getting what happens when these guys like Soros, right at the very end, then all of a sudden God gives them a little glimpse of where they're heading. And that's when you see them fall apart right before the end. That's when they cry out.
Well, that's real interesting you say that, because I don't know if on your previous shows you picked this up, but it came out that Biden has got a tremendous fear of death on him now. And it's disrupting his staff. And they've been leaking it out. That's all he's concerned about now, is dying.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, they said he's like a tyrant. He's got no peace, Pastor Ernie. And he's probably, the Lord may be holding back and allowing the devil to get at him early before he goes.
Could be. See a total breakdown before he goes out. All right, we're coming up to a break. When we come back from the break, I'll introduce the flick. We'll be right back right after this. Don't go away. A whole lot more to come.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
Long time no see.
No can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.